Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
One of the biggest problems that people inside the United States have when it comes to their mortgage is they don't understand the backdrop of the bankruptcy of the United States and the House Joint Resolution that's already been put in place for the remedy. Now, if you can understand this, the only thing that you will need is to formulate the correct documents and serve them. It's just that simple. Now, there's a series of documents that we have available for you at www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Once you get there, before you do anything, call me. Let's find out where you are so we'll know how to deal with the situation. Contact me, Tahaka Montiel Bay, at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, and then we can get you over. Once you get this information on your belt and you read it, you'll find out just how simple it is to get this thing done. What we have is a crisis inside the United States, and it comes because people don't understand what the solutions are and what the remedies are and how to take these remedies and put in place to solve the problems that they have. Go to http www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the links and observe the video. Just examine the whole page and click on the link to archives. Go over there. When you get there, contact me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Assalamu alaikum. How's everybody doing? Good, good. I'm doing good myself. I have 10 minutes, so I'm just going to be brief on what it is that I'm doing as part of a collective group and effort in our city and around the country. January 2013, we did something called Summit of the Moors. And Summit of the Moors is a collective effort to galvanize our community in certain aspects. The three aspects that we're dealing with are three primary things every human being needs: food, clothing, and shelter. So when we look at the things that a lot of our leaders have pointed out, we own or control nothing in the country. And so this is an effort to get back to gaining some of the natural resources that has been usurped by the Europeans. And the first thing is the most important, which is agriculture. Food. How do we do this? We don't have a lot of money, but together we got a lot of money, creative ways and resources, and plenty of programs. But one of the first important things is for our people to see that we can trust each other with funds, to see that we can do a collective effort and that we can do it where it seems the most, which is in the hood, the urban area. So from the summit, we created something called the Morris Equity Group, LLC. And there's also something called Urban Geoponics. Urban Geoponics, which is our nonprofit. And what we're doing is we're going to neighborhoods, we find a plot, and we began to farm. We began to do the advanced form of farming, not just community gardens, because I want people to understand that most people, when they see community gardens, that's usually ran by Europeans, and that's usually for them to create a job for themselves and their friends. Now, you do have some of us that do have sincere efforts in running community farms, I mean community gardens. Go ahead, brother.
Right there.
Now you just asked me, am I going to discard that and stop me in the middle of me speaking? It's perplexing. How many people own that farm outside of the church and Clara White? No. You asked me a question. Now I'm asking you a question. How many people own that farm? No, I mean, I have to make a point because you brought it out, and I'm a closer. See, the thing is, the Morris Eastside Farms is a collective effort, meaning the people own it. And I'm a researcher, and I always had issues with certain leadership because their wealth has never been distributed amongst their followers or amongst their people. It was always the head that had the wealth while the others were continuing feeding the bank account. You understand? Now, with this effort, number one, we're doing what the government calls eliminating food deserts. A food desert is where generally our people don't have affordable, immediate access to fresh fruit and vegetables. The other thing is we'll be eliminating, without going into on protesting, of what they call GMOs, genetically modified foods, generally, you know, ran by Monsanto, which is the company that patented seeds. And so you should know any person that controls your food controls you. All of us should have a garden in our backyard, number one. And we should all have something inside of our community. So if we take 50 people, and again, these 50 people all have gardens, and say, for example, we all lived in a two-block radius of each other, all of us in here, and we all had a garden, and we all owned and controlled certain businesses, and we also have those residential, we now have a financial sector owned and controlled by like-minded individuals. We now have a community. We don't have a neighborhood. Right now, we have plenty of neighborhoods and not communities. So this is an effort that we are doing. It's not something that we say, oh, we're going to get ready to start. We're doing it. You can go to A. Philip Randolph and you can see the farm. Your brother Buster came to the summit and he donated it, the property, to us, a two-star farm. And it is a small demonstration of different formats of farming. We imported all the soil. All the soil is organic. We do deal with the pH balance. We deal with the pH balance, which we create the compost, which may be from, let's say, horse manure, because they eat straw, or they're vegetable or vegetarian in a sense diet, and you allow it to do what it's going to do over a certain period of time, and you put that inside that soil that we're utilizing. We have raised beds, which are the beds above the ground. We also have mounds. We also have the vertical growing, which is what you want to do. So in a room like this, on a plot like this, most people generally go horizontal. So what we do is we go horizontal and vertical to be able to take advantage of the growing space. We also have a hoop house. A hoop house is just like a greenhouse. In the hoop house, you'll be able to control the climate. When people say, well, you're not able to grow that in Jacksonville, well, we are able to grow it because you can control the atmosphere. And I always like to tell people, see, I'm from Flag Street, Alameda, 20th Street, and I'm out here in the farm because I see the need to be able to control something. I see the need to be able to create inheritable wealth for our babies. And talking and dialoguing and conversation, they can't eat or control any of that. At some point, we got to get back to producing. In the 20s, we had 22 million acres. Now we're down to 4 million as a group. But as a group, when I say group now, I mean a people who are literally doing business together to create financial sectors. Just read Dr. Chancellor Williams' book, Destruction of Black Civilization. It is a blueprint. From there, Dr. Amos Wilson created a book, Thicker Book, Blueprint for Black Power. In there, there's a master plan. Dr. Chancellor Williams, Elijah Muhammad, Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Garvey, these people all said the same thing. W.E. Du Bois, you have to have your financial set. So we got to take the choice of literally going back in and investing in our neighborhoods to create communities so we can create, so we can eliminate starvation. We can eliminate crime. We can eliminate the drug aspect inside the community. So we don't have to go into the woods and build huge things. We can go right where the people at, where the majority of the people at. And it's in volume. When you deal with volume, you can create the wealth. When you deal with the real estate aspect, you buy those homes and you put the people that you know inside those homes, you hold their note. So you become the bank. We created the banking system, so we are the bank. You make it affordable. Now you don't have renters, you have owners, people who invested in what they wanted in. So we are in Delaware, we are in Detroit, we are in Texas, New Orleans. I'm getting ready to go. The sister's donating 7 acres to us in Georgia, and I do believe Alabama. So we're looking at, by January, to have 20 Morris, we call it Morris Eastside Farms. And so with that, I'm going to close out, and you can go to our website, urbangeoponic.org, and you can see our effort, or you can just come to the east side if you want to put in some time and volunteer, see what we're growing, see what else we're doing. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, Morris. Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Armano L. Bay, and this evening we're dealing with Urban Geoponics. Our special guest will be Brother Diallo Secure, and he's going to answer some questions for us and let us know what's really going on with this thing, Urban Geoponics. We're going to answer the following questions. Is Urban Geoponics one of the most important solutions to controlling natural resources in the United States and around the planet? Are your study groups working on group economics? What other groups are dealing with food, clothing, and shelter? Why aren't groups working on inheritable wealth for the children? Can people break out of individual accolades and be concerned with their community? Can creating sound community be a solution to wealth, health, power, and influence? How do we apply these methods? When can we see the results? Can we duplicate this? Is it unifying effort for all Asiatics? Where did the concept come from? Who else, if anyone, is doing this? Where else is this taking place? I think these are very, very fair questions to be asked. And tonight we're going to address these. And I'm going to open up the line and see if my brother is ready to come on. Area code 706. Are you with us, brother?
I'm always with you, brother. Islam. Peace.
Islam, oh, peace, peace, peace. Okay. All right. Well, just hold on a second before we get started. Let me make mention of the fact that we're offering our free articles as usual. 14th Amendment exposes how to deal with commerce games. You can learn how what's going on inside the United States as far as the little immediate problems that you have, because I feel if you can free yourself up from some of the financial burdens, then you can get on with doing a whole lot of things that we call living. I want to make mention of the fact that that is available, and the way to access that is simply send me an email to tarhaka53@hotmail.com. Tarhaka53@hotmail.com, and I will send that to you. Keep in mind, in January, we'll be hosting the Morris Summit 3 right here in Jacksonville, Florida. We need y'all to Mark that on your calendar. Make sure you get on down here so we can show you some of this good Florida hospitality. Brother Man.
Yes, sir.
Now, the urban geoponics, the first question I want to deal with, the first one that I have on my list here, is urban geoponics one of the most important solutions to controlling natural resources in the country and around the world? And if that is so, what makes that possible? Give us a breakdown on that, in your words.
Well, brother, that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked that question. The reason why urban geoponics is one of the most important aspects of controlling natural resources, number one is there is no effort in our community that I know of that we're trying to control natural resources as a group, number one. So one of the sole missions of this, not just one of the sole missions, but one of the missions is to control natural resources, is, as Dr. Claude Anderson has laid out in one of his books called Powernomics, as well as Dr. Chancellor Williams laid out, we don't control anything. You understand, over here in North America, we have been encaged for over four centuries, and while those four centuries of encagement have been taking place, the rest of the enslavers have been going around taking and controlling all the natural resources. They control 85% of the natural resources on the planet, and they're only 15% of the planet population. So there's an imbalance, which means it rolls downhill to the people who are now at the bottom of the barrel, which are us. So those people have no way to go but up. So we're so concerned with consuming and consumption and things that have nothing to do with power to put ourselves in a position to be able to compete on the world stage. And so this is what urban geoponics, part of its whole mission is. This urban geoponics is a holistic mission. The first thing is agriculture. Then we'll get into the real estate. Then we can get into the manufacturing. Then we can get into the oil. We can get into the technology. And along those things, in between those things, we still have the information and the teachings that's going to take place, that are taking place, like the people in the metaphysics, the esoteric information, the legal issues, the natural law, the comedic information. All that information is still going to take place. But urban geoponics as a business is about empowerment of the people. And I had a few conversations today. My thing is, the more money that you have, the more opportunities you can create for people. And I don't believe that, you know, people who are practicing the government, if you can't create a job for your people, then you're a failing government. If you can't create a form of defense for your people, you're a failing government. You see, so at some point, we got to take that 10,000 journey of steps and begin with one step, and here it is.
Okay. All right. Well, I have to agree 100% with you in saying that. And while you was talking, I was envisioning people. We're walking around. We got these brains in our head, and just like you say, we are consumers. We are constantly going as if we are built on convenience. Everything that we're looking for is convenient. It's easier for me to get up in the morning and go to the store and buy something for me to eat. It's easy for me to go out to the store and buy something for me to use. If I need, you know, all of these, it seems like this is a vicious cycle. When am I going to produce something? When am I going to take a look around at where I live and put together a solution to changing the circumstances where I have some control and some power? This is what I've been looking at, so I'm glad you brought that up, because that's very, very, very vital. I look at all kind of things. Every time I look around, somebody's opened up a store. They just put up a new GED program around the corner. Well, we're teaching people how to get the GED and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, when are we going to get to something that we have created that we own and control so that we can take control of ourselves as a community? Because one thing for a fact that I know about a community I have been in and out of gated communities, and all these people are pretty much on the same page. When you come up in there, everybody's looking like, okay, who are you?
Right.
You know, are you on our page? Because we already have an agenda. This community belongs to us. All of us are on the same page. We're all participating in the keeping this safe, meaning staying outside of these gates and walls. So I'm on you on that 100%. Now, what about the study groups that's working on group economics? You know of any?
Well, I do know. I spoke with a brother from Houston today, and they're dealing with different aspects of his speciality is taking businesses public, Wall Street, which is something that we should be looking at, especially when we have limited amount of funds. And when you get on Wall Street, you can have exponential amount of funds. It is a risk, but it's a risk I do believe that some of us are willing to take. And you can't be on the edge standing in the back watching us work. You got to push this thing to the envelope. Push the envelope to the edge. We can't sit back still talking about waiting and watching and waiting and keep on waiting and watching. By that time, your lifespan is gone, and there's something else going on. So there are study groups going on, and we have to get together. We are getting together. I'm not going to say have to. We are getting together because that energy is out there, and the conversations, the people are talking about each other. So it's just a matter of a few more conversations, putting together some legal documents, and moving forward. One thing I want to define is the word control real quick. The word control is defined as managed to exercise power or authority over something such as a business or a nation.
Okay.
What we do now, that at?
Right there in our own community. But now,
that's right.
We got a problem here in the United States with people of African descent. We have neighborhoods.
That's right.
So what are we going to do about that?
Well, I think with neighborhoods, we, like everybody else, have to transform the neighborhood. Or better yet, we have to invest. And when you look up the word empowerment, the American Heritage Dictionary defines empowerment as to invest within legal power or to authorize. And this is what we fail to do because we tend to give up and follow those oppressors, or those people that look like your oppressors, or follow some type of system that you seem to deem something better. See, you know, it's like psychology. Those, you know, we all know that one person is like, oh, man, I can't make it here. I can't get no job. I can't keep no girlfriend or boyfriend. My check always short. It's always an issue. And then they move to another city. It's the same thing. See, psychologically, it's you. It ain't the alien. Mm-hmm. It's you. You talk about the matrix. Your mentality is the matrix. You have to control your mentality. You have to shift the polars in your mentality. See, the earth is bipolar, but it's in balance. You're bipolar, but you in unbalanced. You got to learn to shift your mentality to work in tune, in time, on time, with time, if you heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working out of time, without time, and always being late. That's why they say niggas on that color time. But the brother put out in the clock of destiny, be on time, in time, with time, which simply means be in tune with nature, man. Understand the movement of the planet, the stars, and how your path is already laid out, and all you got to do is walk on it. That's why agriculture is the most important and the first step, because through agriculture, you will learn or you will begin to relearn the movement of the sun, the stars, when to plant, when not to plant, what bugs do this, what bugs do that, how to cream, how to crop, how to do everything. this is putting you in tune back with the earth. You're now feeding the earth and she will feed you. You're going to areas that have never seen anything like this. So you are transforming the landscape like the gods that you are. And those same landscapes, you're transforming through the agriculture, you want to invest in the neighborhood. You want to be the shareholder, the large shareholder in the housing, in the empty plots, in the businesses in the area. Now you can create a financial sector. Now we can talk about remnants of Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921 when you had the doctors, the lawyers, the millionaires living inside one area. A bunch of professionals living, rotating their money with their own systems, independent economic systems. This is what we are doing. This is what we want to duplicate, but we have to do it as a group. We can't do it with two and three people. The effort has to be a larger effort. Don't get confused with just the agriculture, because it's bigger than that. Much bigger. And that's how you transform the neighborhood. You go in and you invest in it and you secure it with your own security. Now you don't need the police. You don't need the fire department because you can put your own in there. Like any other community, any other nationality that goes in, they put their own in there. They put their own to work. Mm-hmm. You invest in those houses, your children can run the landscaping company. Your children can run the management aspect of the property. They can have a property management company. We put the families in there that we know. We create a list of people that need housing. So we make them owners. We don't have to have any more renters. We can eliminate the starvation. We can eliminate the crime. We can eliminate the depression. We can eliminate homelessness in our community if we want to. This is bigger than a 10-year plan. This creates inheritable wealth for those who are willing to invest in it. And it empowers the people with the three simple things: food, clothing, shelter. Now you can create political power. See, now voting becomes very important, because now you have sectors set around the country where you can streamline information, streamline products, and we're all on the same page.
Well, okay, now, when it comes to geoponics, in your opinion, outside the United States, how important is that for the rest of the world to understand, grasp this particular concept?
Well, number one, geoponics, people have to understand what geoponics is. Geoponics is the study of the earth. The study of the earth is art, science, and of agriculture, gardening, farming. No one can live without eating. Is that right?
That's right.
If you know anybody that can live without eating, and I ain't talking about walking around breathing up oxygen 400,000 years ago, because I ain't never seen it. I'm talking about people that have to eat. They have to have sustenance. If they exist, bring them to me. But until then, we have to take our people that do not have the luxury of running companies, that do not have the luxury of working for people, or do not have the luxury of basically creating their own finance, and create the first financing, which is farming. We can take this all over the globe for those people that wander around starving. We can now step in and show them, hey, this is how you can feed yourself and your family with the correct food. Even if it is a desolate area, we can show how to create even the water out of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company I'm working with now, waiting to downsize the technology that they have to create pure water straight out of the atmosphere. All we have to do is just do what our ancestors have already did. It was always the Moors who spread agriculture throughout the planet. We had the shipping companies. We had the ships, baby. So we was already the first international travelers, international distributors. We was doing that. Ivan Van Sertima told you that. We took the ships. How you think Greece got the way it was? Because it was the Cretes, the brothers with them afros, jumping on the ships, going across town and handling business and setting up shop. We took the guns out of China and introduced them to the world. We were the natural importers. So taking exotic fruits from one continent to another was nothing. We also knew how to set up so they can grow in areas that they said they couldn't grow because we knew astrology. All this stuff comes out of ancient Kemet, the study of Tahuti, and Stolen Legacy. He told you that the Moors were the custodians of the ancient Kemet people. But I got something even greater than that. I just simply say it was the Moors who were the high priests of Anu in Kemet.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, now, that kind of information never been covered up. They don't want that out. Go ahead.
So, you know, it's really just getting back on our path, man. You know, if we get into the business of empowering people, and I'm not saying feeding the homeless is a bad thing or good thing. It's an okay thing. It, to me, it's like an enabling thing. Okay, here you go, eat, now you go home. How about I just show you or create a garden right here in this area, and y'all take care of that, man. Go ahead, run that. See, even if I give them a gold coin, that gold coin is only worth something until they spend it, then it's done. But you give them a plot of land, it can grow forever. Hell, then we can show them you can bring the fish in on the land. But it's up to them to keep doing and doing what they're supposed to be doing to make sure that that planet, that little plot keeps giving and giving and giving. That's real activism. That's how you're going to know if these people are real activists, because your crops are going to tell the truth on you. If you're taking care of them, if you're not taking care of them. You know, it's like a first stage before you get to the human being aspect, because we're going to have to teach the people to understand how it is to farm and to understand the cosmology of what's going and taking place with a certain time period, you know, moon cycles, all the whole nine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for a fact this is what we always had. I mean, it was just standard procedure. Everybody in the neighborhood, all you can go from house to house, all the way down the end to the end of the road, and everybody growing their own food. But all of a sudden now we have this thing where we don't have to do that anymore. We could depend on somebody else for our sustenance. And now we have obesity, we have hospitals, clinics, child practices, and all of this stuff here making a killing of our poor health because we thought we could improve on what the Creator had already told us to do in the first place. So my question to you at this point is, in your opinion, what do you think every man and woman inside the United States, regardless of what their station of life is, based on what we are facing today and what's coming in the future, what do you think that we need to do?
Wow, well, I always say this to Hawker, man. It's not really one thing for people to have many issues, but I just simply, you know, you always have to start with self. But, you know, if they're already, you know, I like to say urban geoponics, even some of the Moors, it's not, you know, not necessarily a neophyte aspect, but it's the people who are ready to move forward outside of the talking and the groups and the whole thing and get into group economics. It's just simply get into group economics, man. You know, get with us. Get with the Moors Equity Group. Get the urban geoponics. Let's put a farm in your state. Okay? Let's do this, and I do believe it is a unifying effort because I'm not concerned whether or not you're in a temple, out of a temple. If you're a righteous or just person, man, let's just grow our food. And this ain't no hippie tree-hugging talk. I'm talking about what you will see is one of the largest groups owning one of the largest co-ops in the country in a matter of a year and a half or 2 years. You also see one group of people, owning a large amount of property around the country. Then you will see one large group owning another large amount of real estate. Then you will see another, that same group creating jobs. transforming lifestyles. See, what's happening is we chose to pick certain little things to be a part of, and it makes us feel good as an individual.
Right.
I'm saying step outside of that. Step outside of that. I've always believed, for those who are spiritual, the highest form of spirituality is giving of self. They call it charity or whatever you want to call it. And see, when you sacrifice yourself, but you got to be smart enough to sacrifice yourself where it's not impeding on your health and your family, but wise enough to set up systems that's consistently self-sufficient and sustaining and empowering people at the same time. Therefore, you can step back off of your sacrificial aspect of time and family and go on to build other aspects. These are just simple schools that we're doing. Agriculture is a school. The land aspect is a school. You see, this is the thing that creates, that is institutionalized, that we have to create. We have to create systems, not that quick fix. The thing that our grandbabies can run and walk to and say, hey, this is where we grew up at. There was never any crime. There was any, you know, there was no violence. There was no drugs. This is the place that cities around the world will want to implement. They call us to go and set it up where they're at. But it's not that easy because it's for us first. There has to be a likening. That like mind has to be already in line to come in and be a part of that.
Well, you know what? I remember when I was went to visit my great aunt up there in up in Georgia, house set up on a hill, and I used to feel somebody tugging on my foot. I told my get up, boy, come on out here in the chicken coop with me and get some eggs. And I get up and I grab hold of her dress tail and we get out there, boy, she go back in and the chickens fly around and she go to picking the eggs and she bring them in and get that old wood, take some wood and throw it in that old stove and light up that old cast iron stove with that wood and put them eggs on. Man, you talking about something good. But she grew her own food. She had her own peas. She had her own corn. She had her own grapes. She had her own pecans. I mean, she had this wall full of jars of food and stuff that she had grown. And she went, took us down to the store, and the man told us that he hadn't seen her in years, and he was thrilled for her to even come to the store. She said, I'm just here to get some paper plates because I ain't got none of them and because my family's in, but after that, you ain't going to see me no more another 5 years. Hey, man, look here. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back, and we're going to open up the rest of the phone lines. And so we have some brothers with some questions and comments. We're going to get to the rest of the questions this evening. But I'm going to just show you how it was back in the day when I was...
When you wear those dresses, sun comes shining through. When you wear those dresses, sun comes shining through. I can't believe my eyes, all the mess belongs to you. I believe you the glory you know is now at all.
Okay, Moores, when it comes to your student loan debt, now, when it comes to student loan debt, there are things that occur that a lot of people are unaware of. First of all, they tell you they're going to give you a loan, and the next thing you know, they're going to tell you that, okay, well, we have made it available for you to have this loan. Your classes are such and such, your books are such and such. All you got to do is go over to the school. But you haven't seen any money. They have told you that they have given your tuition to somebody else, and they're waiting on you to go to school. But when it's all over with, you graduate and all of that good stuff, the next thing you know, you're getting a bill for money that you've never seen. Go to http://newfreehelpgroup.com. And let's get in there and see what we can do about this thing and get some of this stuff dissolved and canceled. To be burdened with debt is not a good thing. So what we want to do is look at all our options. United States operates on a continuous series of contracts. It's currently operating in a bankruptcy, but House Joint Resolution 192 is intact. So therefore, let's formulate some documentation. Let's send it out and see if we can cancel that thing. Okay? Contact me, Tahaka Monte Elbe, 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m.
Brother Diallo.
Goddamn, you marketed to the baby boomers with the church.
Man, look here, we ain't playing with this thing, man. I had to play that first song because I had to try to get as close to Egypt as I could to try to show the Moses, hey man, we've been doing this here back in the day, man. This was how we have survived all these years. This ain't new. We have always grown our own food, but somebody, and I believe it was somebody who didn't want to do no work, had led us to believe that this is a new age now, and we should all stop growing our own food and depend on somebody else to provide food for us. Forget about nutrition. That's out of style. Just eat what somebody say is supposed to be nutritional and then just call it a day and go put on some makeup and put on a girdle, give you some bandages.
You know, to add on to that, you know, you had a lot of hostilities, and it's a very hostile environment in the South. And so what happens, you had that, what they call the Renaissance stage, when a lot of people moved up north. So they left the farmland, the agricultural piece, and went to the steel aspect, what they call the Industrial Revolution. You know, when they start, you know, looking for jobs, when a lot of people, you know, in Chicago, their families from Mississippi or Arkansas, the same in Detroit, you know, you had a lot of that. Remember, it was Drew Ali in the 20s, in 1928, who was in Detroit. Guess who else was in Detroit in 1928 working at the car plant, working in Detroit? Noble, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, also was in Detroit. This is where he first saw Noble Drew Ali, the funny dressed man. But somebody took it and switched it around and say it was Farah Muhammad. But see, Drew Ali was in Detroit in 28, along with Elijah Muhammad, working in Detroit at the same time. So the brothers gave up that agriculture for that steel, making that long money, for them for working for someone else. And at the same time, they went back and took that property down south. And so now they even moved on to the technology aspect. They even moved on to things that's not even real. They call it virtual reality. Now, if we can get into that, if we can get into manufacturing just a chip to put inside that computer, or the mercury, or the gold, or the something to do something with the technology aspect, now we can also create wealth with that too. We can create a few jobs. We can be a little bit of point in the technology field versus just buying all the damn games.
Mm-hmm.
Buying all the TVs and the cell phones and don't own not one cell phone store. But I do know some brothers that do. I just want to got me a phone today. Shout out Boost Mobile Kings Row one time. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, well, now, wait a minute now. Hold on now. You said some brothers on Kings Row that,
mm-hmm.
that got their own phone business.
Yes, Boost Mobile.
Okay, all right, all right. And where they at over there?
Kings Row, man, right over there by EWC, Ed Waters College, the old historical black college in the state of Florida.
Okay, all right. I'm going over there and see what's going on with them brothers. I'm going. I'm going to make a
tell
trip.
Tell them I sent you. Tell them.
Okay, I'll do that. Now, here goes my next question. Now,
okay.
How important is it for us, point blank, to start right now growing our food? And if we don't, what are we facing?
I think each individual deems to themselves what they consider to be important.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the phone with a sister from Ohio, and I asked her what she thought was the most important. Was it law or was it food? She said they were equally important. You know, we went on for another 20 minutes about food versus law, you know, in our whole piece.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, we can become victims. We are victims of the things that we don't know. So because we are
right.
not victims, we don't have power. We don't have a collective power base, which will come from economics. We don't have that power base. And so now we can have Trayvon Martins and nothing happens to the killer. We can have Marissa Alexander situations and we don't have the funding to get the correct type of things that she need in that system. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, that law thing, we definitely are victims of. Over here. The other thing is we are victims in the food industry. Why? Because our children think our food comes from the grocery stores. Or they think they come from some Mexicans at the flea market. You understand? We don't
mm-hmm.
when we don't know, we are victims of what we don't know, our own ignorance and what it says in the Bible for the Bible people shall perish. For what?
Mm-hmm.
Lack of knowledge. You understand? So it's very important. You now got Farrakhan jumping out. Get back into the agriculture now. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
They got 1,500 acres in Georgia. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but we're going to get with them. Black farmers are still suffering, looking for a check from the federal government. You understand? There's a reason
yep.
for that. Everybody has to eat. Even if it's not, even if you don't see it important to grow a farm, get into the business of feeding people, creating a venue for people to buy the food that you're growing. Now you have grocery stores, healthy grocery stores. You can guarantee and secure the people that they won't find genetically modified foods in this building. When Dixie can't say that, Whole Foods can't say that, most of the stores out here can't say that. But once we get the building up, we're going to say that. And see, the whole point is, it's not a building for you to just come and buy from. It's a building for you to become a franchise owner in. Now your children got jobs in the summer. Now they got a potential business to run when you're gone or when you want to retire and move on to other business ventures, whatever. What are we leaving our babies, man? What are we leaving our babies? Fancy paperwork? Mortgages? Car loans? we leaving them something? Are we leaving them the tools to be able to forge forward for the rest of the community? That's what we got to ask ourselves. Are the temples doing what they're supposed to do? Are the community centers doing what they're supposed to do? Can they do more? Do we need to make sure that leadership is removed and bring in the collective aspect? These are things we got to look at. I personally say give up the leadership because they ain't doing shit. I personally don't care about being born from a king and a queen. I come from a working family. And it's the working family that gave the king and queen their power. The Panthers told you the power belongs to the people. You got other people defining your own reality. That's why it goes back to the mentality. The polar shift.
Okay. Well, now, let me ask you this. How can the brothers and sisters want to get in touch with you who do want to start their own gardens and stuff right where they are? What do you have available where people can get in touch with you? How can they get in touch with you?
They can get in contact with me. Call me at 706-284-9808, or they can simply go to summitofthemoors.com and email me in the contact. From there, I'll talk to you. The brother Sundiata will speak with you, and then you'll speak to me again. I like to handle the business aspect so you can see the overall vision. Sundiata will handle the agricultural aspect. He'll probably come out, take a look at the property and see what's going on, check the pH balance, make sure we're in the right thing, and then, you know, you talk to me again. You know, we want to make sure that this thing is right. Tested, tried, and true.
Everything. Give me that number again. Let me get that number one more time. 706, okay.
284.
284. 98. Okay.
08.
Okay. 706-284-9608. Brother Diallo's
cool. No. 706-284-9808.
I got it. 706-284-9808.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got it.
See, I think
all right, we got another call.
I think every Moore's Science Temple that exists should have a Moore's Eastside Farm in their territory.
I agree.
This would eliminate people who say, well, this lineage come from this lineage. He reincarnated. He ain't reincarnated. Oh, man, that dick this, that dick that. Who gives a damn? We got to eat. We're going to create jobs for this. We're going to create products for this. Get on with talking, man. Let's get to work, man.
I got a caller with his hand raised. I'm opening up. Let's see what he got to say. Area code 561. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment.
Peace. This is Sundiata. Checking in with the family.
All right. Welcome aboard, bro. Peace, man. All right. I tell you what, we sure enough got that old time religion now, boy. Hold on. I got one more caller. Area code 714. Tell us who you are, where you calling from, what's your question or comment?
This is Yusuf L., California from High Frequency. Right, what's going on?
Yeah, all right. We were just talking about you the other day. Me and you got to get together, man. And Brother Sundiata, we gotta do a couple of shows. You down for that?
Yeah. I've listened to your show a couple of times. I like your show. You know, I like what you're doing and everything. And Diallo is a long time friend of mine. We go way back.
Okay.
So Yeah, so, yeah, I'm no problem. I'm down for that. I'm down for that.
Hey, man. No hey, problem. Man, I'm like Jay-Z, man. I bring him out, man.
I see we got an all-star cast on here tonight.
But listen, right. Here's the thing, Tahaka. We only run with people that really get things done. This ain't. I'm not surrounded by a gang of individuals and sisters that don't do nothing. Them sisters I run with run harder than me. I'm like I like to say, I'm the Floyd Mayweather in this thing, man. I'm about this hard work and dedication, man. We show and prove exactly what we got. This is a real team right here, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you 100%. Now, what I want to know now is now that we got the brothers on, I'm going to need their opinions in this thing, too. Brothers, now, in y'all opinion, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important it is for everybody in this country of African descent to simply step outside the house and just start growing this garden right there in their yard? How important that is? I mean, you know, based on what we're faced with inside the country, where we're headed.
15, 20, 30. That's how important it is. Off the scale. Way off the scale.
I'd have to agree. I mean, it's on my show, that's the first thing. I mean, food. I mean, when I examined it and I really had to do some introspection myself, I came to realize I'd been abusing my body for so long. I've lost 50 pounds. All I eat is just straight raw food. And it's just the number one thing. Your health is your wealth. And it's like I began to realize that you got to return back to the earth. You got to go back to the earth. And that's the number. It's getting us with that. And it don't make no. And then when you start buying food, you realize that, like, when you just start buying this raw food, like, you know, tomatoes and onions and bell peppers, you're in there buying all this stuff, and you begin to realize, like, man, why am I buying this? This just grows up the ground.
Uh-huh.
I can grow it myself. And that's a conscious reawakening, I think, you know, when you start to just – so I think one of the first steps is growing your own food. First of all, changing your diet, I think, is the first thing, too. You know, just going back to a natural type of diet. And I think the next step, that just naturally leads you into a desire to start wanting to grow your own food. Just my two cents, but I think it's very important.
Okay, now you all have started you something going on there where you are?
In California, let me tell you about California. I just moved out here, and I don't even know that many people. I just came out here, and I'm talking and doing things like that. In California, you already have, this is a big, big, big health state, and you have farmers markets everywhere. People are already on that here. They on that big time out here. You don't see a lot of obesity in California like you do the rest of the country. Because people are here because, you know, it's good weather. Everybody's outside. They're walking all the time. You got the beaches, the mountains. And you have farmers market. There's a farmers market open almost every day here, all over the city, everywhere. So it's already like a real big thing. You know, different states have different types of culture. But I plan on returning back to Atlanta and getting with some brothers and starting with some brothers out that way. You know, I'm kind of like touring around the country right now and just checking out and just seeing different things, how people do different things. I travel a lot. And I just see, you know, I just come to a realization that's the number one thing, growing your food. They do it out here big time. It's not, California's not like every place else. I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
It's not. It's a different type spot out here.
All right. Well, I'm going to need you to take my number down so you give me a call, and we need to talk about getting us a show together. You got a pen handy?
Yeah, hold on. Let me grab one real quick. I'm out at the I'm moving around right now. I don't know if y'all can tell. You can hear I'm kind of outside. But let me grab a y'all got a pen and some paper right now. Go ahead.
All right. Area code 904.
Mm-hmm.
303-9061 And give me a holler before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we can sit down and hammer out some things together.
Okay, let me make sure I got it right. 904 area code 303-9061.
That's it. You got it?
Okay. All right, I got it, brother.
All right.
I got it.
All right. Brother Suniata.
Yes, indeed. I was going to add on to what the brother was saying, Brother Youssef. That whole western region is full. I mean, it's like pioneer. They're the pioneers in sustainability. You know, you go up into Oregon, you check various places in California. You're talking about New Mexico. You know, those states are very, very. They deal heavily with sustainability issues. So when you want to see top notch composting operations or top-notch worm farms and urban agricultural venues, the West Coast right now is where it's at. Now, you got some real interesting places on the East Coast and throughout the points in between, but the pioneers are really out on the West Coast. They are a lot more forceful, so to speak, with making sure that that cities are recycling, cities and municipalities are composting and doing different things of that nature. So it's they're real pioneers out there. So the brother's in a good spot, at least to absorb a lot of that spirit and energy in terms of sustainability and urban agriculture where he is. And then he can definitely bring that information and that spirit back with him to the East Coast, places like Atlanta, Florida, the Carolinas, Virginia, and you know, just all points in between. But he's in a special place right now because he's right. The farmers markets are everywhere. The community gardens are everywhere. The urban farms are everywhere. So it's just a good place to be. And you know, the organic side of it. You know, being able to grow food organically and not having the worry of pesticides and the worry and concern of genetically modified organisms being a part of your produce and your food is a great thing. And places like California and Oregon and Washington, the state of Washington, are pioneers in that regard. So I just wanted to kind of add that on to what the brother was talking about in terms of being out on the West Coast.
Yeah, what the human body needs, you know, you have five elements in the human body. You have you know, you have fire, air, earth, water, and you have ether or spirit. And, you know, you need sunlight, you know, and that takes care of the fire. You need air. You have to breathe good, clean, fresh air. You need water. You need good, pure water. And you need the earth because your body is made from the earth, and you need to eat food that's from the earth. And then you need spirit, and you have to get your thoughts together. And, you know, just coming out to places like this, it is a shift. It's a totally different. I probably wore blue jeans or, you know, out of a year, shoot. I've been here. I probably wore jeans probably about 2-3 weeks the whole time I've been here. You know, it's like I'm always at a beach, you know, just getting, you know, I just took this time in my life just to enjoy beauty, scenery. You know, I'm doing what I want to do. You know, just getting yourself together spiritually, mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Well, Diallo.
Beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
Where you at, Diallo?
I'm right here, man.
I just had a friend of mine. She has moved to Texas just the other day. And she called me and told me a lot of wonderful things about being there in the West. And I haven't heard her mention anything about the gardening and stuff. But when I was there, I didn't know anything about that because I might even saw it and wasn't paying no attention, even though I know about gardening and stuff. But it wasn't on my agenda. But now my question for you, and you guys, you all can help us out. How do we go about applying these methods that we're talking about nationwide? How do, you know, what's the best approach to get everybody to understand that this is should be a primary objective?
All right, let me go first. One thing is, wherever that person is at, they have to see the need to have a farm there, and they have to have the desire to want to be able to farm that, or they just have to be like, hey, we need that. That's it. From there, Sundiana and I, we'll take it from there. We'll give you the blueprint. We'll create the creative. We that's what this first demonstration in Jacksonville is. It's a demonstration to be able to move it throughout the country and perfect it for each individual geographic location. So if you're in New Orleans, then New Orleans may be a little different from Jacksonville. If you're in Seattle, Seattle's definitely going to be different from Florida. So you have to want to say, hey, we want that. We need that. We see that we have to have a collective in something. We want to begin to control something. When you want that, that's when we show up at the door ready to work, already working.
Okay.
Yeah, let me chime in on that too. The people who want to do it, they'll reach out to you, and that's what we've been seeing and witnessing. Ever since we began to really put the call out to action, that this is what we need to be doing. So you put the call out, and the people will come to you. They don't, you know, to go out and try to really educate folks on a national scale or even on a regional scale. So, you know, it's too much time, and it's draining on the spirit, and it's draining on your energy level to really be focused on, like, really trying to educate this group or educate that group, or I'm going to educate these, I'm going to educate those. You know, you can drive yourself insane trying to do that. It's like being in a classroom. It's like being a teacher in a classroom, and I've done it. I've done it for roughly 10 years. And there are going to be those groups that there's going to be select students that want to learn, that want to be there, and they're going to give you their all in terms of absorbing the information. And then you're going to have those that just don't give a damn about it. They don't give a damn about the experience, the education, the information. So you're not going to wreck yourself trying to get those who don't want it or don't want to hear anything about it to want it. So you just reach out, you just put the call out, and, you know, we do things like the blog talk, Urban Geoponics Live, on Friday evenings at 8 o'clock. We put the call out. Folks who want it, they come. And then we just move forward from there. That's the main thing. The people who listen in on the blog talk and who listen in on blog talks like yours, Taharka, you know, we need those brothers and sisters to reach out to us. Because, you know, we listen to these blog talks, and then we just, as soon as the blog talk is over with, you know, that's it. Back to your fantasy reality. But we got to implement these things that we're talking about. We're talking about putting up farms in various locations. We need the people to reach out to us. We don't know everybody, you know, but kind of like what Dalo mentioned earlier, each Morris Science Temple of America needs to have a Morris East Side farm. So that's one way that we can definitely reach out to those individuals or those groups of collective persons to, you know, introduce the idea and the possibility of having a farm in their respective territory. But for the most part, you just put the call out and the people will come. And then you just move forward and continue to build and foster those relationships from that point on. And that's usually how it works.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on one second, yourself. Let me bring this other call in. Area code 682. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment.
Peace. This is Morris L. out of Dallas. Is this the Justice League?
Against me? We
like
stand for justice over here. Yeah, you're in the right house. Good to have it.
Got all my superheroes on here. Hopefully I'll be in that number soon enough. The reason that I'm calling is that I like what Brother Diallo was saying earlier about we putting in the work. I'm trying to put myself in a position where I'm not putting the cart before the horse. I do want to be included in the number, but I've got some things I want to work on. And I've discussed that with both him and Utah Hawkins. I'm going through that process so that I can re-divert and put myself in a better position in order to help out more, not only on the business side of the urban geoponics, but also on the technology side. And I'm trying to get an idea, a sense of what's more important for me in order to be in a position to help you guys. My thing is, I'm the only breadwinner. I'm the provider for my family. And I want to be able to diversify in the sense where I have the farming aspect going on, as well as branching off and doing my own thing with my technology career or background. What do y'all see? Or is there a way I can get in touch with one of you brothers to kind of elaborate on that? Because truthfully, I need some guidance on that. And to be able to put me in that position where I could take the resources I have financially in the environment that I work in and be able to pull it out and redivert it to something more beneficial for not only my family, but for the community as a whole.
Okay, you got your paper and pencil handy?
Yes, sir.
All right, fellas, let him have it.
Wait a minute. First of all, who is this?
This is Marcel. I talked to you on that Skype call about a week and a half ago.
Oh, you have my number, right?
Yes, sir. I got it.
Okay.
Well, here, let me give him my number. This is Sundiata. It's area code 850-778-1531. And we have a new email up for Urban Geoponics. It's urbangeoponics@gmail.com. So you can submit your inquiries through that venue as well. And one of the things that I would go ahead and say right now is to you mentioned, brother, that you have kind of some things that you already do in terms of the technology side, and what we would want to explore is how. Well, let me ask you this: what type of technology are you focus on that you deal with?
Well, I've been in the industry for little under 18 years. And so I've got a broad aspect of knowledge in both the Windows environment, the Linux environment, databases. I heard y'all was talking about the virtual world. I'm real familiar with that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cover a large gamut of things. Right now I'm a systems engineer I've been doing that for the past 5 years. With various municipalities as far as supporting their back-end systems, their servers, and things of that nature. And
right.
It covers a large gambit, but nothing.
Hello? All right. One of the things that you still there, brother?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. One of the things that I was thinking of, like, you know, you being in systems engineering, and having the tech background that you have, one of the things that, and I'm going to find this link before the blog talk is done, and I'll put it up, but one of the ways in which we can you've heard us talk about the aquaponics systems, right?
Yes,
with the fish and the produce. So one of the things that we could do, there's a brother out in Oakland, a Somalian brother, who has an aquaponics set up, and he's been able to connect his system and streamline it to where he can run it through his phone.
Right, I've seen that. It was a YouTube video that he had put up, kind
right,
of going through.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I think it's like Savali Farms. It's, anyway, I'll find it. I'll just put it in the YouTube. I mean, in the chat for everybody to see. But this, you know, it's things like that that we want to do. We want to have it set up to where we don't have to always be down at the farm to check the pH balance or to check the amount of waters, the amount of gallons running through the system at a particular point in time. We want to have it streamlined and everything set up on the cell phone and have that app in place to where all of that information is being relayed to our device, and then we can just adjust as we, you know, as needed from wherever we are remotely. So it's little things like that where your knowledge and expertise can come in and change the face of agriculture. You know, you can come in and you can really change the face of how we operate, whether it be a hydroponic system, aquaponic system. You know, I really want to look more into the chemical aspect of what certain plants and produce need in order to thrive at its very best, and be able to distribute those nutrients to those particular plants and produce as needed to get the best growth period, to get the best percentage of growth, rather, and to get the best yield that we could possibly get. So there are various ways in which that technology can be implemented into the agricultural scene. What we have to do is just match it all up. You know, we're urban farmers, right? We're urban farmers. So if there's not a whole lot of technology that goes involved in the urban aspect of agriculture. But when we really start to acquire these larger tracts of land, there's a lot of room for growth to implement a lot of these new technologies that exist for larger rural scale type farms. But you know, there's so many ways in which you can fit in. And in addition to that, one thing that you can do in order to make your presence felt and to make your energy known in terms of urban ag and wanting to be involved is to begin to seek out those organizations in your area. I tell people this all the time. Find the organizations in your area that have sustainability in their name. You know, wherever your territory or whatever city you're in, you know, look for the organization Sustainable, whatever. Where are you located, brother, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. So look for Sustainable Dallas. Look for the Dallas Sustainability Group. Or, you know, just look for those organizations that focus on urban ag, that focus on going green, that focus on sustainability issues, and begin to position yourself to be around these people as often as you can, as much as your lifestyle and time will afford you. Just go to some of their meetings, go to some of their events, and just begin to network. You know, your network is your net worth. So we're looking to it's very important to put yourself in the position to be around these people. One thing that we're going to continue to do through Urban Geoponics is what one of my goals and dreams is, or one of my visions, rather, is to form a collective, a team of urban ag professionals to go to these various urban agricultural workshops that they have throughout the country throughout the year. So, like in January, they got one coming up, the SAWG, SAWG. You can look that up online, where they have tons of workshops implementing new practices, new technology. So it'd be good if you could get to some of these conferences and see what type of technologies are being implemented within the realm of urban agriculture and agriculture as a whole. So it's those types of workshops and conferences that we have to send. We need to be able to send a delegation. We need to be able to raise money and have funds to send three or four people as a delegation through Urban Geoponics to these various conferences to pick up that knowledge base, because that's what all of the trends are. Where everything that's new and trendy is taking place in the world of urban ag, you'll be able to find it at these conferences. So we want to be able to send folks to these conferences. So it's just those little things like that that where you can find yourself fitting in to what it is that we're doing, and also to be able to contribute. And of course, you know, monetary contributions are always welcome to put into the account so that we can use to continue to set up these farms. So whatever, however you can fit that in, like you said, you're the main provider of your family, So I know that it you know, time is a factor. You know, there's only so much energy you can really put out. But those are just some of the things that I would recommend you do to see how well you can contribute your time and your energy and your skill set to urban geoponics and what we do.
Yeah, I can definitely.
I know I said a lot, but I hope I made sense with all of that.
No, you hit the nail right on the head. That was good plenty right there, because I as far as the brother out in California that was doing the automated system with his geoponic system, it's funny you had mentioned that, because I had ran across that same bit of information, and that kind of sparked me on to develop a bookmark list, if you will, of all things related to geoponics or aquaponics.
Right.
And I saw that definitely was, that fit well within my wheelhouse of being the geek that I am, or the techno guy that I am, as far as trying to expound on what he's doing and parlay that along with what more East Side Farm is doing as well. So I reached out to Bill Diallo about a week ago, and I explained to him what my situation was, and that I'm willing to do what I can as far as trying to, you know, find a place in, within the group. And I wanted to ask him, I don't know if he received my email with the document, the signed document that we had talked about. But I'm going to have to reach out to him probably tomorrow just to verify that he did receive it. If not, I'll be happy to submit that again. And the other thing that I have been working on as far as my current position is to work on the law aspect as far as getting rid of the debt that Brother Tahaka is presenting to us. And I've gained a lot of knowledge and wisdom from his guidance, and I'm in the process of working through that so that I can totally do away with a lot of the things that are hindering me from exercising this, you know, this passion that I have, or this desire to be a part of what the Moore's East Side Farm is doing. And so I'm like I said, I'm in the beginning phases of it. But as far as what you were talking about, as far as getting the bringing in the technology aspect into what you all are doing, I can see that's well within my wheelhouse.
Okay, yeah, that's great, brother. That's great. And just, you know, there's always work to be done. So even though we find ourselves busy, quote unquote busy, there's always additional work that can be done, even within the little bit of time that you can pull to the side, you know, to dedicate to, you know, urban geoponics and because what we're in the process of doing is actually building the human capacity aspect of urban geoponics. Because there's so much work that needs to be done, and we need the human aspect to be able to really get these things done. So you having the background that you have, you know, is duly noted in my mind. I'm writing things down as we talk and doing our very best to try to figure out how to fit everybody in and what their skill sets are to be able to really form this powerhouse of a team, because we need people in the various territories, because soon we're going to need, you know, national representatives in various parts of the United States to act as a regional president or a regional vice president for various aspects of urban geoponics. So, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done. So whatever time you can find, Brother Mars L, you know, let's just see how we can continue to fit you in, even amidst all the other things that you got going on in your life. There's always room for contributions somewhere, you know, in regards to the urban ag piece. So we'll you have my contact information, so email us as soon as you can so that we can all begin to really, you know, keep in constant communication with each other. And then we'll start having Skype sessions so that we can all sort of see exactly where everybody's head is and what type of things that we need to be doing to move forward. So it's that human capacity piece that we're really building And you're the exact type of brother that we need on our team to forge ahead with this movement.
Okay. Much respect.
Right, now, brother, before we go any further, now I have a question, and I think this is a very important question. I want to know, what would it take for the people to break out of the individual accolades and be concerned with their own community? What is it going to take for us to get that on our belt? Clearly understand the importance of that.
All right, let me answer that. And I want to also answer, I never got a chance to answer the first question, but I'm going to answer both questions at one time. Because what
hey,
I
you
know,
better, because Suliata going to get it for you.
You know, it's like, you know, because I
man, leave my brother alone, man.
What I look at is I look at big business. That's where I come from. I'm into trust, and not just typical trust that all these people out here putting together. These aren't nothing or anything what they're doing. Unincorporated business organizations or private equity trusts, what the big boys do. Because what they have is they have organization, right? And they have structure. And they put people in place who are confident enough to execute on whatever plan that they put in place. And that's why when you go to these websites with these big executives and you see their management team or their board of directors, when you look at their list of expertise, you see how they're qualified. And then when you get into trust management, you'll understand why they're picking these particular people. So the first thing is you have to play to people's self-interest. And one of their self-interest in it is, what is in it for me? This is the purpose of utilization of trust, because you're allowing people to invest in things where they're going to receive a return. So you don't go to people with just say, give me, give me, give me. You go to people and saying, what's in? They don't do that. The big boys around the world don't come with their hands out wanting something for nothing. You know, if you want that, you get a 501(c) or something like that. You go to people, you got to appeal. And that's one of the 48 laws of power, appeal to people's self-interest. You know, Robert Greene was right on point with that. You know, that's what you got to do. But they do it in the form of trust. And when you do it in the form of trust, now you have a business outline and you have some trustees, because trust law is a very severe form of law. Well, they have a duty. You're not just handing money over to people for them to fuck off, you know, or to do what they want to do and go out and ball and look what we got and doing all this kind of stuff. You can put something that's in a pool, and then you can issue certificates to individuals of interest where they can receive a return that's on a prorated basis based off whatever it is that they contributed to that particular pool. And now you have a management team, which in a situation where I'm listening about this farming, I would only be dealing with people who are experts in farming. That's the people I would be looking for first. I'm going to go, okay, when we put together our team, who are these individuals who are experts in this field of knowledge? Right? And how are they competent? And you need somebody, you have a banker in there, somebody who understands banking. You got to understand somebody who understands farming. You got to have somebody who understands law, you know, agricultural law, all these different things. You have to put together a team. If you're going to do this thing seriously and on a large national scale, because I hope that's what everybody's thinking about. I hope their vision is already on a national scale. Because you always think big. You don't think small. This should be going on everywhere in every state, in all the 50 states. That should be the vision. But if you're going to do that, you have to have the management team that's being in place, and you have to have a vehicle that's going to secure funding for that. And then you can't nigger rig it. All that, you know, okay, well, give me some money so we can go invest in this and throw it over here and just hope something happens. You can't do that. That ain't how they do things. You know, it's a reason why these people are successful, because they do things in a certain way. And if you want to have that same type of success, and it's not no haphazard thing. This is science I'm talking about. This is the law of cause and effect. You know, if you want to, that's why you can have a mentor say, hey, do what I do and you'll get what I get. So imitate, and trust law and all these laws that I'm talking about are very ancient. This is ancient type stuff. You go read The Richest Man in Babylon, and you'll see them talking about it, you know, in that book. And, you know, you'll see it's very, very old information. But that's how you want to do it. We want to pool money. And then once you start appealing to people, because you're talking about you want to get their minds off of this, you know, Gucci bags and, you know, all this type of stuff that I hear. Because these consumers, it's just ridiculous, some of the things that we're really just interested in when you think of it in terms of value. We got to create a product just like they're doing and give it value the same kind of way. And you have to start doing that. But first of all, we have to have some type of some funding that will push that. And that funding needs to be organized. And that's and trust law is very important to utilization. All the if you look on the securities and exchange market, everybody uses a trust. Everybody. All the wealthiest people in the world utilize a trust. Nobody's doing anything outside of trust because a trustee has a fiduciary duty to perform, and a certain type of trust. So when you have a private equity trust or an unincorporated business organization that's private, that team that you're putting together on that has a duty to utilize the assets of that trust for a specific purpose and only for that purpose and also for the benefit of the certificate holder. That's how I would put it together. I ain't into that. You know, it's hard for me to get involved in that stuff where, you know, hey, we just need some money. Let's put the money together. You know, let's go out here and just run out here and do things. I did all that, you know, 15 years ago, all that type of stuff. You want to do things on a major level, you got to be professional in everything that you do. And you got to put competent people in position that's going to do it. You got to put you a business plan together. You need to put all this down on paper. And then now we can go and market people because now we have something that's marketable where you can go to investors, whether they be large or small, depending on how many shares that you want to distribute, and say, hey, look, y'all, here's our plan. We plan to do farming. Let's get all you invest this much money. Here's going to be your rate of return, and this is what we're planning to do with the assets right now. That's what they do. They don't go and get no money and out their back pocket and do things. They put together a plan, and then they go and court investors to bring them in. And as investors, if they're shrewd enough, they're going to look at it and they're going to analyze whatever it is that these people are presenting. And the number one thing they're going to look at is the people who are doing it. Are these people in place that are managing these assets? Are they competent enough to achieve what it is they're setting out to do?
Okay, well, now, let me ask a question.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this now. How stupid would it be for me to just been hired on a job that pays me $18 an hour, and my primary objective is when I get my first paycheck to put some new rims on my new used car? On a scale of 1 to 10, how stupid would I be?
Well, I can answer that question because I was one of those people. All right, I was one of those people. It was a point in my life where I made a lot of money, and Chico Adalo knows this because he knows me. We go back a long way, and I spent money on foolish things. I did try to build a business, but you know I didn't have enough business knowledge, you know, to do a bit. I was doing some street stuff, basically. How foolish is it? It's hard to say how foolish it is when you're dealing with individuals who haven't been exposed to anything. I never was exposed to business or anything like that. So all I knew is I need to get a nice car, so I get me a place, and get me a nice-looking girl. That was what my mind was. Rim, nice car equals fine-looking women. And that's the extent. That's the extent of a lot of people's thinking. They're not thinking for the future of their family. They're not thinking because those different qualities have not been instilled in us from childhood because we don't have a culture. We don't have a culture in place. We don't have rites of passage for our young men and our young women. The Jews have a bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah, the son of the covenant, son of the commandments. Okay, they have these things in place. We don't have that. So it's hard to blame young people, you know, who are just coming up or anything like that. When they do come into a lot of money, they wanted to get some type of material possession because it's going to make them feel good. They're after that feeling because they never had anything. Wealthy people don't worry about that because they've always had things. They ain't worried about that. They trained and thinking in some other direction. We're just trying to get our hands on a little something so we can feel, so we can build some self-esteem in ourselves. So in calling it foolish, yes, it's foolish. But I understand it. I understand why somebody would do that. But that responsibility, the blame for that falls on our elderly generation, because we're not instilling that in our young people. What you see in our young people, teach a child the way he should go. When he's older, he won't depart from it. The way our children are acting and everything, the way people are coming at us, because we put this in these kids and did these things.
Okay.
Because we don't know no better.
All right. Well, Diallo, what you think about all that, man?
You know, man, if you can afford to buy you some rims, go and get you some rims, man. If you think it's gonna make you happy. But you know, they even got a
foolish.
Place where you can,
foolish. It's foolish, yeah.
They even got stuff where you can rent rims now. You know, a fool and his money is gonna soon depart. See,
okay.
one of the things that we're missing is what my brother Yusuf said is we're missing education in business and in group economics. The individually, we can't really empower and create businesses like we want to, but when we put our resources and our references and our finance together, we almost unstoppable. And so we have to set up things to show people how to eliminate certain debts, how to raise their credit score if they want to use their personal credit. If they still want to have the straw man, which that person say you don't ever want to destroy that because it's the straw man. Anyway, the other thing is how to set up business entities to create their line of credit. And then you have to be disciplined enough to take care of that stuff. And so when you're running a business, you know, you get your CPAs, you get your attorneys, you get people in place that's qualified to help you run a viable business, set in place to get funded locally, nationally, federally, internationally. These are the things that we're doing. So, and in essence, every party that will come on will receive all this education. We're going to make sure that you don't have the issue of just, oh, well, you know, I have the mortgage issue. I'm the only person that's making money. Well, we can show you certain ways. And it's not any rocket science. It's just a matter of shifting certain things around and maybe sacrificing that cable. You know what I mean? Or the strip club on the weekends or that drink.
Oh, no, not the strip club. No, God, no. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, well, you know what? You can get on the internet, man. That'll save you a whole bunch of money.
Okay.
You get online. So, you know, that's what we're working. Matter of fact, all day today, man, we're just creating trade lines for Moore's Equity Group and Urban Geoponics. And that's almost like, and there's two of us. So it's almost like a 3-day thing, maybe like 2 more days, and just setting up trade lines for it. And there's just something. It's nothing. I mean, it's nothing that I'm selling or anything like that. It's just, and I'm not teaching no class on it. It's like if you're in the camp, with the camp is simply if you're one of the people that have been in the house that wanted to come down here and work at the farm, you get the 101s. Yep, 101. You get it. So anyway. You get that, you know, as soon as the odd is here, then you get 2-on-1s all day long. So, and if you did, and then most of them don't even know that I know you, like you down the street. Like, oh, shit, Taka, I want to meet Taka. I'm like, okay, well, let's go. You know, so it's just a matter of, you know, because I get the calls, are there temples in Jacksonville? And I just simply tell them, you're the temple. You want me to teach or somebody else? You can meet me out at the farm. So I can get that work out of you, and you can get what I had to offer you. And we learning and building at the same time. And we're putting that particular energy, which people need to know, we're putting real love in our farm. It's not bickering or negative energy. Or if people are coming out there with issues, what you have to understand is that farming, gardening, is very therapeutic. The plants are giving you, they're giving off stuff so that it can, I can't think of the terminology, but it's giving off a scent that's relaxing your body. And even when you're just doing that work, concentrating on taking care of and making sure that this thing is lined up right or it's got enough soil or the soil is moist, or, you know, you know your whole mind isn't focused on those things that are giving you issues. And you may even be able to get a little clarity while you're out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I got one for Brother Sunlia. Inheritable wealth for the children. Let me have that, brother.
Land ownership. In my studies, in my opinion, that's all it really boils down to. And teaching young folks how to use that land. Because here's a major concern with what we see with some of our folks who still have land that's been in their families for years. They ain't done nothing with it. They great grandfather might have cultivated the land and grown food for the families back in those days. You know, back in the mid-1900s, early-1900s, late-1800s. But since then, since the mid-1900s, they've moved away from agriculture. And their children have not picked up they didn't pick up the baton and continue to run that race of being a farmer. And Farrakhan's address that he gave about 2 weeks ago, he said that agriculture is like the least likely profession for young Moors to move into. You ask somebody what they want to be when they grow up, almost nobody will mention, I want to be a farmer. Now, the interesting thing is that's changing now. Because the more young folks we get involved in agriculture from a very early age, now they begin to see that, yeah, working on a farm is not like, you know, you're working on 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 acres and you out there back, you know, putting in back-breaking work, so you end up despising agriculture. But a lot of the young folks in the urban areas are working in urban farms. They're not that large. But these young folks are picking up on valuable skills in terms of planting seeds and just cultivating seeds and cultivating produce from the very beginning all the way to the harvest, and then it being in their own kitchen. Then many of them are moving in that direction and they're enjoying it. So now you're having a new crop of young people who now are being asked, well, what do you want to do or what do you want to be when you grow up? And many of them are beginning to say, I want to be a farmer. I want to be an urban farmer. Knowing how to grow your own food and cultivate your own food, and even if you eat meat, knowing how to cultivate livestock and slaughtering that livestock for consumption, that's the wealth. That's where the real wealth lies, within that knowledge, being able to grow your own food and reap that harvest, and then be able to give the land the necessary rest that it needs, or replenish the land with more nitrogen using cover crops, so that you can then use that plot again the following year to grow more good food. So wealth inheritance, from my perspective, is the land. So we have all of this land. Back to my original point, we have all of this land that's been sitting in these families unused and untilled for 30, 40, 50 years. They have that land, but all they're doing is paying property taxes on it.
Okay.
So here it is. Now you got organizations like Urban Geoponics. You got the Nation of Islam that's calling out they're putting the call out the same way that Urban Geoponics is putting out to utilize that land. So once we were able to see that land can be utilized for a perpetual income generator, a perpetual stream of revenue that will last for generations to come, then we've entered into that true sense of wealth inheritance for our children. And that's what it's really about, acquiring land ownership, cultivating that land, For the rest of your family's existence. So that's my portion on that.
Okay, Brother Yusuf, you want to chime in on any of that?
Yeah, I think trust law deals almost specifically with wealth inheritance. You know, how to perpetuate wealth down to the generations. I'm in total agreement with land. You know, land, real estate is the basis of all wealth. All wealth comes from the land. You know, everything comes from the land. I mean, when you look at these wealthy people, they're dealing with the land. I deal with some very wealthy people, and everything they do is gold mines, oil, cotton, livestock, real estate development, you know, but everything has something to do with the land. And I like what the brother was just saying about all these people who have land that's just sitting and doing the same property tax on it. You know, that just brings an idea, you know, but you need to be able to bring these people something where you can say, hey, look, you know, let us utilize your land. Here's how we're going to give you a return on the utilization of your land. So you need to be able to approach these people with something for them, because people, I'm telling you, people have a self-interest in things. You know, people ain't going to give you something. Ain't no such thing as something for nothing. There's always to be some sort of quid pro quo. And that's how I look at it. You know, put together, structure something solid, a core group of people, because this is how everybody does it. You have to structure something solid with confident people, put things down on paper, and then go out and then look for the investments that you're going to utilize and have a strong idea and a clear idea how you're going to do it. And then once you have it in trust, it's going to perpetuate the wealth, because trust law, that's what it deals with, passing wealth. It's no such thing. You're supposed to be, you're supposed to control property, not own property. And that's the only thing I have to disagree with. Ownership means liability. And in this world, nobody owns anything. The wealthy people understand that. The only person who owns anything on this property is the creator of the boundless universe. You're just passing through here. So ownership is an ego-driven thing. You have to get into a idea that we are just taking official use. Not what you care about, because you're just passing through. That's what trust law is based off of. So that would be my thing, is put together some, I'm going to say it again, a trust. I don't see anything superior to a trust. I don't think anybody can even present anything to me that is superior to that. It's because this is how the wealthy, the super wealthy, do it. They operate everything through trust, and they perpetuate their wealth through trust. The Rockefellers, how they perpetuate their wealth is they have special schools. That's why you see all these wealthy guys, they set up all these schools, all these major universities that you see, these private Ivy League schools. A lot of these schools are set up by these guys so they could educate people who could help them to perpetuate their wealth. That's what it was all about. It wasn't really, in the beginning, intended for all these people that's going here, you know, getting degrees and stuff like that. It was structured so, hey, we need people to train people in this particular type of business that I'm in to help perpetuate my wealth. So that's all I want to say on that.
All right. Well, now we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So y'all hold on a second.
Okay, Morris, now when it comes to dealing with the Internal Revenue Service, that's a big dog. So what you have to do is make sure all the legs and all the feet locked down on that. You have to meticulously take your time and do your documentation on that. If they burden you with debt from the Internal Revenue Service, there are things that you need to put in place to make sure that you're able to handle that situation. For the solution to your Internal Revenue situation, contact me, area code 904-303-9061, before 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Eastern Standard Time, and then tell me about it. Go to http://www.newfreehelpgroup.com. The solution is there. Don't forget, http://newfreehelpgroup.com. Once you get there, give me a call, 904-303-9061, before 7 p.m.
Time to go. love your enemy. There isn't much time. There isn't much time. Look, I went to Thailand. I really miss how to blind you. Here, I'm at the garden. Susan Boyd, bone is up to breathe. Dance, dance electric. Listen to the rhythm of your soul.
Now, This is my next question here. How do we apply the methods that we're talking about in urban geoponics? And first of all, where did the concept come from in the beginning? Who gonna tackle that one?
I'll start with that. The concept of urban geoponics is not anything new. It is the terminology I just put together the urban and the geoponic aspect and what we're starting with, and one of the most important things that every human being needs, which is food. So the agriculture is the science aspect and what we're dealing with. You know, again, I like to always point out Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Claude Anderson, Dr. Chancellor Williams, how they actually laid out plans inside of their books. A lot of our elders who've come before us and who people have called leadership never left a blueprint. They just left their work and people to say, hey, this is what they did, but they've never written down and left the steps and execution plans on what to do. So this is basically just us executing what it is in the 21st century to be able to start taking control of resources and at the same time being able to create a long-term environment for our children to be raised in and to have inheritable wealth. So there's a lot of factions going on in the urban geoponic aspect. Dahaka?
He might have got knocked off. Sometimes you get disconnected.
So Yusufel, when is your show on, brother?
My show comes on every morning. Every morning from 8 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Blog Talk Radio /iFrequency. Every morning, Monday through Friday.
What's the name of the show again? And if they want to contact you directly, how can they get that information?
Okay, well, I don't give my phone number over there because I get too many phone calls as it is. But they can reach me through my email at High Frequency Blog Talk. Just put your phone number in there, and I'll call you. I will contact you. So just email me at highfrequencyblogtalk@gmail.com. And the name of my show is Rules to the Game. And I deal with a lot of the same subject matter that you deal with. I deal with debt. I deal a lot with the criminal justice system. I deal with mortgages. We talk about esoteric information. I talk about a whole gamut of different things, you know, that are of interest to us that I feel that will, move us ahead as a people as a whole, you know. And all for the benefit of my experience, because I have a lot of experience in dealing with a lot of stuff, so I kind of just give people, you know, a little bit of that, too, on my show.
Okay. All right. Now, as far as the go ahead.
Urban Geoponics, live with Sundiata every Friday, 8 p.m. Be there.
Okay. And what's the call-in number to that broadcast?
Call-in number to that broadcast is 347-215-6592.
Okay.
And we're operating out of the Abundance Air Network, so that's the call-in number there. Big up to Abundance Child.
Put the number in one more time. Get this real slow one more time.
347-215-6592.
Brother Yusufel, what's the call-in number to your broadcast? Brother,
he must have went in that room. You went in early.
Oh. All right. Well, we'll get back to that. Now, let's go on to the next point here. This is the question that I want to ask now. Where else outside of California in a large area. I mean, in a I would say like a sincere area is this urban geoponics thing going on in the United States that you all know of.
You have Delaware.
Okay, we got Delaware.
I was on the phone today getting specific. We're going back and forth with the contract with the sister in Georgia. That's 7 acres. Primary, want to make a trip up there to take a look at the land. We got Texas coming aboard. We have Louisiana aboard. Florida is aboard. Any place else in the
Arkansas.
I'm also working on Las Vegas. At the same time, we want to have 25 of these by January by the summit, so people can see the aggressive aspect in 1 year, what we are able to achieve as a group. 1 year. So imagine what we'll be able to do in 5, 10 years, where we'll be at. So, you know, we do want to put one in each state. And everybody's the owner and control of this farm. Another thing is, where there's a Moorish science temple, there should be a Moorish East Side farm. Why? Noble Drew Ali had farms. Noble Drew Ali had business. Yes, in Virginia. Noble Drew Ali had several businesses that he ran as well as the members ran. Noble Drew Ali was bringing in from $10,000 to $15,000 a month. Noble Drew Ali was a multimillionaire. Noble Drew Ali had followers who were also wealthy, well to do, as well as not well to do individuals. This is what
let me ask you this, because I had one on the chat line was asking me what's going on in Virginia as far as the urban geoponics today. Anything in Virginia that's going on?
Well, I tell you this, if he got to ask it, he ain't doing it. Feel me?
Okay, and they want to know if, you know, what, how could they get involved and get it going on there? They did ask that. And Nebraska.
All they got to do is call us. If you had that information to Hawker, I'd get it from you tomorrow, and we'll jump right on it.
Yeah, here, what you call it? I answered that inquiry in the chat from Dancer 0924 about the Urban Geoponics Division in Virginia. So I told that individual to email us at urbangeoponics@gmail.com with all of their contact information, and we will initiate that setup in that territory. So we're definitely on top of it, absolutely.
Okay, all right. I'm glad you got it, man, because things happen so fast on here, I can't keep up. Okay, now let me go on to the next thing. Now, can creating sound community be a solution to wealth, health, power, and influence? And if so, could y'all give us a breakdown on how that's possible?
Well, I'd like to tackle that first. I got disconnected earlier. Sorry about that. I must have been in a bad spot. I mean, everything comes down to, in my opinion, everything comes down to revenue, money. I mean, you know, you have to get money. I listened to an audio of Malcolm X, and he said it very beautifully. He was like, you know, you want to blame people about your communities, how they're, you know, how they look, how there's so much unorganization in it and so forth. He said, but, you know, it's money. It's because there's no money coming in. There's nothing coming in. Everything is going out of the community. Everything is going out. There's nothing coming in. So I think the first thing we have to address is we've got to start trapping some of that energy that's leaving our community, because money is just a representation of energy. And it follows the same principle of electricity. So that's why I call it currency. You know,
Yeah.
That would be my thing. I'm just going to give a short answer. I'm not going to give a long, blown-out response with it. I think it's going to have to start with, first, you're going to have to start valuing the things that we produce. We've got to start producing, and then next we've got to start valuing the things that we produce, and we have to learn how to make that money circulate within our communities. And I think you'll naturally see a progression in the community. I just think that the money is the soil. It has to start there. Money is just a representation. You know, our energy, where are we putting our energy, where are we putting our focus? And right now our focus is on things outside of the community. You know, we don't produce anything, and or the little that we do produce, we don't value it. And then we don't spend money, and money's going, and everybody who's in our community is from another community. I was in the mall today, and I went in this store, and I hate to say this on the air, but, you know, I'm in the store, and the guy, I think he's a Korean or something like that, you know, and I just left. And I said, man, let's go, because my attitude about it now is, it's like, they not going to buy nothing from us. Matter of fact, I've dealt with these people. I've been in business meetings with these people. They not going to buy nothing. You're going to spend your money with them, and then they're going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you. They're talking about what a low life you are. So why would I only even want to – that's the first thing we got to do. We got to get like them. We're walking the – oh, no, you know. Somebody trying to walk through the mall, trying to give you a massage, or do – no, sorry. And you just tell them straight up. Look, I only do business with my own people. I'm sorry. Can't buy anything from them.
I have to agree. I think I'm about the worst out of all everybody, because I get thrown out of grocery stores and thrown out of restaurants, and I never forget one Christmas. I went to the Chinese restaurant and I bust in the door and I said, y'all open? He said, oh yes, sir. yes, we open. I said, you can't do that. I said, today Christmas. You need to be closed so that you can start spending money to help celebrate Christmas. You got to, no, we do that. I said, well, everybody in here need to leave. You won't get out of here. We will call the police on you. I said, I'm trying to control the economy. You're throwing me out. Then I went into the grocery store on Thanksgiving, and I noticed that the store was full of people of African descent. On Thanksgiving Day, it was one Caucasian man in there. He had a little girl and he had a little boy. And I followed him around the store watching what he put in the basket. He didn't put nothing in the basket remotely resembling Thanksgiving. And the sisters and brothers just started running up and down, child, over, get the cranberry sauce. Go over there and get that. So I waited till we got to the top of the line. I said, can I have everybody's attention? I'm confused about a few things. I said, can somebody please tell me what Thanksgiving has to do with people of African descent? Now, the man that was standing next to me, he had two baskets full of turkeys for the church. And there was a lady behind him, he said, I'd be so glad when we get rid of people like him. He went, so the manager say, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. I said, well, I'm trying to get some clarity on something. He said, if you don't get out of here, I'll call the police. Because you're messing up the robbery. Anyway, back to where we were.
So basically you're saying, this is what I say, we have to be racist. We have to be economically racist. I think that's going to save our community. We have to start becoming economically racist. I hate to say that, but I think
you're absolutely correct, man. I know a community right now, and I'm not going to call the name of the community, but in this community, and this community is in Florida, in this community, we have police officers living in this gated community. And what they are doing is they are supplying all the residents in the community with guns because of the people into the country.
You can't get mad at them. See, police and sheriff are two different things. People get that confused. Police are like security guards. They're there to protect property. That is their purpose. So, you know, that's what they're doing. They're protecting property. The sheriff is the law of the land. And, you know, we got to start, before other people start to love us, we got to start, we have to love each other. That same principle, if you, before a woman loves you, nobody's going to love you, don't love yourself. Or if somebody says you got low self-esteem and everything, they don't want to mess with you. Well, as a race right now, we got low self-esteem. We got low self-esteem, and everybody's talking about us all over the planet and everything. You know what I'm saying? So first we got to start, okay, showing that we got a love for each other, and then people will just naturally start to respect us. So I think that, you know, at first, you know, I'm not saying, I'm not a racist person. When I said economically racist, what I mean is, because everybody else is. Everybody else is economically racist. Everybody else is. They're going to do for themselves. I can't get mad at a white man for only hiring white people. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's taking care of
That's
his own
absolutely
work.
Correct. That's
you can't get mad at
correct.
This man.
How can
because
we get our people to understand that we need to start looking at us as an economic base? What do we have to do? What is it going to take? Give me some direction. I'm going to try to go into some of these stores again and get this done without getting thrown out. Could y'all help me out?
I just ask him why they ain't got no buzzers on the wall. I really don't want to deal with adults because what I'm, you know, the whole idea, man, is for our future, it's for our children. And if you basically rope off what you have and cultivate that environment, then you can say you are literally guaranteeing the security of your future. You know, without trying to save the world. You know, you understand what I'm saying? You know, you're looking for an area where you can do what needs to be done. And then if it works, you just kind of spawn it out. And spawn it out and hope that it catches on. But you can guarantee the area that you're working in.
Let me say this, too. I was checking out in Atlanta a new trend that was happening. And it's with the hair that the women are buying. You know, they got all these type of exotic types of hair that they put in their head. And it was something going around that the dope boys were stopped. They weren't selling dope no more. Everybody was switching over to selling hair. Because, you know, I think the hair industry is like, you know, it's like $2-3 billion industry or something like that. So it's so much money being circulated in that particular industry. Dudes stopped selling dope and started selling hair. And they're making nice money. Now, my thing is this. Why can't selling natural foods be the new dope? Because it's billions of dollars in that industry. It seems like they train us to keep our mind away from things that create wealth. They keep us in these little pockets of activity that's just going to make just enough money to survive. And they get us looking at, oh, farming, that ain't cool. When, like, I have a friend, he lives in a $5 million house. This dude is, you talk to him, he's a good friend of mine, and I don't think he got like an 8th grade, 9th grade education. But everybody that works for him has a college degree. Everybody that works for him. But this dude is rich, and he made all his money from the land. He's a country boy. They understand the land. And all of his friends are wealthy, and they all country boys, all of them country boys, and they're making money off land and so forth. So it's not the education, it's the thing, you know, we got to learn how to value things. They put their value in the ideas that they come up with. First of all, they only take on large scales. They think about $100 million and up, and, you know, and everything dealing with land. Why can't farming be the new dope? Just to say, man, we're going to go ahead and...
You know what? I tell you what might help now. Because, see, we got a habit of, we look at TV, we're looking at these rap videos and stuff. Why don't we do a rap video on herbal geoponics?
That would be good. But you got to put some solid lyrics behind it. It got to be, It got to be catchy. I was in the music industry, so, you know, it's like everything with us, you know, it got to touch. It can't be corny. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So if you're going to do it,
it ain't got to be corny.
Hey, but
that's not corny.
That's not a bad idea because, you know, I was one of the greatest lyricists that never got signed. And now we got God Hot going on.
We can put the music behind it. We can show the sisters and brothers where it's at and what you would look like and how fine you can be when you really put proper nutrition in the body and put a good beat behind it and put that thing down, man.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get the Morris from God Hop. Come on down here, shoot something up there. We'll put it out, since that's what I do at Private Side Media. Good idea, man.
Okay. All right. And if the music industry don't want to broadcast, we don't worry about it. Don't mess with us. Because we got some hard seeds that we can use to plant in the ground. We put some of them in the slingshot and do some damage. Don't mess with us. What'd you think, though?
That's right.
That's a good idea, man. We could do that.
Yeah, I think
that's right. Well, let me say this too. While you're on that, that's why one of the multi factions that take place with starting out with 50 farms is you have 50 areas to be able to move 50 different things or whatever you want to move,
uh-huh.
Unlimited amount of things. It's a built-in distribution center. I'm sorry, route.
Okay.
It's a built-in distribution route. So if we wanted to go from Florida up to South Carolina to Virginia to D.C. and over to Detroit, Chicago, it's built in. You'll have a spot to stop at. Then that spot where that farm is at, let's just say we set up the grocery stores. Now those same people who are part of the farms, or if they're a new group of people who want to be a part of the farms, the grocery stores, now we have 50 grocery stores where we put our product at, and it's distributed throughout the country, as well as South America, Africa, different countries in Africa, Europe, the whole nine. And then if we wanted to have just a merchandising store where we just sell all our products, all the small vendors who make incense, who make oils, not the bootleg tasty DVDs, but who make the whole natural products, we now will be able to create a venue for them to not only distribute nationally, but they have a place for the products to be sold. So now they're in 50 different places versus just being on the streets. We created that. That's called an independent economic system. Now we can take artists from God Hop Movement or any other movement and say, hey, we can put your CDs, your movies, inside of our stores. Now they have 50 locations. Now they're literally a national recording artist because we can say we did that. And maybe possibly 50 venues to perform in, 50 venues for you to do a lecture at, 50 places for children who never leave the city to go travel and visit to during the summer.
Okay.
It's endless. You have
all right,
50,
well,
what the Europeans called hostels. So let's say we set up one house by each farm for people that want to travel, say, $10 a night. They can stay there, you know, $10 a night for a bed, and y'all get out, go work at the farm, travel around, boom, 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 and sit it in, go into the next city. It's there, and we can do it. Just got to want to do the work.
Okay. Well, I have to agree with that. There ain't no doubt about it. Let me ask you something. Now, what about study groups on economics in the country? Do anybody know about any of that that's going on outside of what you guys are doing?
Again, you know, I only know personally about one person that's doing it in Houston. The rest of the groups that I know about are all studying law and nationality.
Okay.
And, you know, that's first all I know. Other than that, you know, regular people who are not consider themselves more than just doing investment groups.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can understand why they don't, because we're under attack. You know, it's like a battlefield out here. You know, they're trying to You can't. They keeping you where you can't focus on doing things because somebody's constantly at you trying to put you in jail for some made up fictitious charge or something like that. So you know, it's like brothers got to defend themselves. They keeping us preoccupied with defending ourselves. You know, trying to maintain our freedom. You know, I think the biggest barrier to success is, you know, is these, you know, these police agencies. They're hunting us down, man. I did a show today on the prison system, and when you read, you can see what they're planning to do. Because when you go and read their perspectives or their these investments, all right, they lay out for the investor what they're planning to do. All right, how this investor is going to get a return on his money and the risk. So in it, they talk about things. They tell you, okay, well, we planning to build this in prisons, and we guarantee a 90% occupancy rate. How the hell are they going to guarantee a 90% occupancy rate? Well, they're going to change some laws. They're going to have the legislature draft some laws that's going to funnel more people into the system. So our first line of defense is we got to defend ourselves against this BS that they're doing, you know? So, you know, and it takes the focus away from what we're trying to do. But I think we do need to – economics is simple to me, though. It's more money comes in. The definition of wealth to me is that you got more money coming in than going out. As long as you have more money that's coming in than going out, you're wealthy. And that's what that 10% is all about. So it's the same thing with our community. If more money needs to come into the community, then goes out the community. Simple economics, you know, to me.
Well, that's,
you know, we can get into the particulars of it, but, it, you know, that's it. That's what it comes down to.
Well, that's grade A. Brother Sunada, what you think about it?
What was the actual question or the comment?
Hey, we were talking about the economic situation involving the the question was who's outside of what we're doing? Who else is dealing with the economic side of the situation, the community side, group economics that you know of? You know anybody else is dealing with group economics?
I mean, you know that there's people out there just doing it, but I don't, and you know, and maybe that's an indicator in terms of where I need to be, or some of us need to be, or where we need to be in terms of the type of people that we need to be interacting with. But yeah, we need to be interacting with more folks who are practicing group economics, collectivism, on the economic scale. I tell you one thing, I come across people who are doing it all the time, but they sure don't look like us. I'm in constant contact with folks who are practicing group economics, but they're on the other side of the color spectrum. So it's just a necessary thing for us to do it, especially in this day and time, because we're behind. You know, we're losing in terms of galvanizing our people and organizing our people the way our ancestors did. You know, Garvey, Dallow made mention of Marcus Garvey. And, you know, and the Prophet Noble Drew Ali and the types of businesses and the collective organization that they had, you know, the UNIA and the MST of A, and being able to galvanize that money, to galvanize those monetary resources to put towards additional businesses, reinvesting in yourself. And I think that's business 101, is whenever you do make some money from whatever venture that you're dealing with, is taking a portion of that and reinvesting that into yourself, putting it back into the business. So that whole, I don't know of too many groups other than ourselves, other than the Nation of Islam that are actually practicing group collective economics. Hopefully we'll begin to see it more and more as we reach out and interact with more of these other organizations. But it's just a necessity right now. You know, we're dealing with a burning house, as Martin Luther King mentioned years ago. And, you know, the only way out of the fire is through the fire. So we're going to have to do this thing on a collective level to make sure that we're making progress in that regard.
Call them badass kids now.
Yeah, I know my boys in here deciding they want to get into it with each other while I'm on the phone, but it's all good.
let me ask you something. Now, how does, and I need all y'all input on this, how does urban geoponics benefit in your sphere or in your satellite where it's set up, how is that going to benefit single women and their children?
Let me ask you that real quick. For example, if you take single women who don't have a lot of money, you know, we have the food to help stabilize a little bit. And eventually, you know, depending on the size of the farm in the urban area or the rural area. The other one is the housing aspect. The housing aspect, if we're controlling a street, you live on that street, I live on it, soon be out of yourself. We all know each other. We're going to make sure that street is safe, that neighborhood is safe. And then we spawn out and we make sure that whole community is safe. So single mothers with children, they can run around in the street. They will have a village. That is the village concept. These are all ancient African principles that we're initiating.
Okay.
Remember, it was the Panther Party that created WIC.
Okay. All right. So now you're telling me that these things, and this is what I see based on what you're saying. The urban geoponic system set up, and once it gets set up and running, in any neighborhood that's being converted to a community, the single women and their children in that sphere would have protection and nurturing and nutrition access 24 hours a day.
That's right. They have a bunch of babas and uncles running around and big brothers.
Okay. Well, if there's any sisters out there that think that's okay, go ahead, raise your hand and let us know what y'all think about that. The phone lines are still open. 310-982-4184. I think that's a great idea. That seems to be a benefit for anybody who would be in that type of environment. But now, what about security? How you think that ought to go?
Well, we had Brother Most L. I'm sorry, Brother Most Love from came up from St. Petersburg, and he's a martial arts expert, and he has a system called the solar system technique. It's a combination of different styles and ever-growing styles, where he would be one of the people training our private security force. See, there would be no need for the local police because we police ourselves and protect ourselves.
Okay.
This is really about doing for self. And it's not just for the people that's wearing the turbans and the fezes. When I say like-minded, we're talking like-minded. We're talking about people who believe in justice and righteousness, freedom and equality. Melanated people. We're going to secure it.
So
everybody should be on point at all times, but there's some who just pay to ride around in the car, stand on point to be where they need to be, to make sure that our property, our children, our women, our brothers are safe. Like you go to any other gated community, and that armed security guard is at the gate. Even when you go to the projects, the government is making sure their product is safe.
I might need to come in there to bring a pound of weed to Richard that live at the end of the block. Can I just walk right in, or do I need to stop and check? Be checked or what? I'm gonna get Richard his weed.
I think you need to be stopped and checked. I think in the infancy of anything, you have to have strict guidelines and you have to have order. Order has to be established for something to, you know, take root and grow. So it's like, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that could come in and poison that. You have to cut that off, you know. So it's like, you know, and that's what they do. Once again, you know, you're talking about a security for, you know, the community, secure community, gated community is what they, I think that's what you're alluding to and what you're, and what you're asking. That you just come in and, you know, just drop off a pound of weed or whatever, you know. It's like, nah, you can't do that. You know, you have to, you have to have a secure. The Nation of Islam, I think we could take a very good example from them, and probably the new Black Panther Party as well. But I would particularly, I think the Nation of Islam is probably the most organized in their security force. You know, you need a security force. You know, I'm for that 100%. I don't think you can do anything without a proper security force. I do think that our security force needs to be, you know, there's this thing about the system, being in the system, being out the system, and things like that. You know, I'm of the mindset that, you know, we need to try to live in harmony with the system as much as we can. We don't need to antagonize things, and we need to structure a security force that is in line with, you know, what this system would approve of, you know. So that's just my thoughts on it. But I think that we really need, but I think we need to have an insular environment that is secure, structured, and ordered. And I don't think we need a lot of extraneous things coming inside the community that could poison what you're trying to do, what you've committed to. So that would just be my opinion on that.
Okay. Let me also add on real quick the like one of the new phenomenons in urban and regional planning is something that they call new urbanism. And new urbanism is when they go off and they build these large developments full of homes, you know, full of homes and apartment complexes that are, you know, not necessarily, they're still in the city limits, but it's like it's its own village to a certain degree. So you have, you know, you have that aspect of being able to go and find large tracts of land, dealing with, you know, lots of developers and seeing that there's a demand for additional housing in a particular city or in a particular area, and you fulfill that demand. You have the supply and you fulfill that demand. One of the things, now that's one way of doing it, where we could actually go in and create these larger real estate deals and create these new urban communities that are, you know, all new houses, you know, all these new things. But contrast that with where our people are right now. Our people are they still in the hood. They still in the hood. And what makes those environments different from these new urbanism developments is that they start clean and fresh out there. There's no cleaning up that needs to take place. In our neighborhoods, we gotta come in, and there's a lot of cleaning up that needs to take place. So in regards to also what Brother Youssef said about the Nation of Islam, you know, we know that they're well known for going into an area filled with drugs, filled with crack and prostitution, all these things, and they've cleaned certain areas up. So they have a blueprint that we may need to take from their book, their plan, and implement that same type of plan in our own communities. But the fact still remains that there's a lot of cleaning up that needs to take place. And that's going to take a lot of organization, a lot of structure, a lot of rules and regulations, I guess, sort of to be put in place initially to get an area back thriving the way that our parents and our grandparents might have known a lot of our areas to thrive. Point in case, there's a community here in the Tallahassee area known as Frenchtown. And Frenchtown, back in the... Say it again?
No, it says, hey, Frenchtown.
No, it ain't a Frenchtown. That's just, you know, that's what it's called, you know, some of the history behind that name. But the area is completely saturated with drugs and folks walking around like zombies, you know, teeth missing, the whole nine. These people are just lost in this area. But this particular area, just 50, 60 years ago, was one of the hottest spots for blues and jazz in the southeast, in the state of Florida and in the southeast region of the United States. So you could come to Frenchtown and you could hear B.B. King and you could hear, you know, all of these other great blues and jazz musicians, and monies were circulating in these areas, and you didn't have the type of situation that you have now, you know, the post-crack era. So what we want to do is be able to take those neighborhoods, the same thing where the Moore's East Side Farm is now in Jacksonville. That neighborhood is just waiting for us to come in and revitalize it, get these businesses booming, the ones that are already there, provide them more support, see other business ventures open up along the A. Philip Randolph Strip, and just revitalize and bring those communities back to life. So there's a lot of cleaning up that's going to need to take place, and, you know, we just got to have the right organization and structure in place to do that. So I just want to add that on as well.
I'd like to also add to that because, you know, I'm out in Cali and, you know, I frequent the places like Compton and, you know, South Central and places like that. And what I see is, you know, poverty is a vibration. It's a vibrational frequency, and I study it, and it's a mentality. And they keep everything just in disarray. Trash on the ground, dilapidated building structures, all these things that you see, you know, it causes a certain frequency in the mindset of the individuals that's there. And my aunt told me something one time. You know, she's a doctor and she's with the bourgeoisie, and you know, and I told her, I said, look, you know, I said, why can't everybody be wealthy? And she told me, she said, wealthy people need poor people. She said, we need poor people. And I hated it when she told me that. I was like, you know, and she told me, she said, in the future, there's going to be a bubble. She says, there's going to be people living inside the bubble, and then there's going to be people living outside of the bubble. I plan on living inside of the bubble. This is what she's telling me. So, you know, I was young at the time, and I kind of took offense because I was a rebel, and I'm like, nah, forget all that you're talking about. You know, I'm fighting for my people. You know, I was pro-black, all this stuff. And but over time, I've come to see that they intentionally keep these, because, like, when you have these wealthy neighborhoods like in Laguna Beach and all these places out in Orange County here in California, they all have communities of poor people, where their servant base lives in. And to keep them in that particular state, they got to keep them in a certain frame of mind, and their surroundings are always kept in a certain type of way. Because poverty, it's like Robert Kiyosaki said it beautifully. He said, broke is temporary, poor is forever. When I can keep you in a poverty state of mind, no matter what you do, you can come in here and clean up that environment. It's going to come right back, and it's going to change right back into the state it was previously. So you have to teach people to develop a certain way of thinking. And I think that is so hard to do, is to get people to change the way that they think when outside circumstances look so bleak. Everything looks so bleak. And the only thing that I've ever seen, and maybe Dalo can attest to this as well, because I think he was there and he may have witnessed this himself. I don't know if this is before we hooked up or not. But in Atlanta, they had this thing called Friends Helping Friends. And it was like a little gifting program, pyramid scheme. Everybody likes to call them pyramid schemes or whatever. But I always remembered that because it was the only time in my entire life that I saw that many people, that many melanated individuals come together all over the city and started giving money to each other. It was incredible. They had it on the news reports. They said the lottery ticket sales had dropped 50%. I mean, this thing was so powerful that these things, it's like in 95, 94, this thing 94, 96, they had to stop it. And they couldn't stop it because everybody was doing it. They could throw people in jail. They throw everybody in jail, and nobody was, and people were meeting in their houses. They were meeting in private little meetings and things like that, and they started doing it all over the city. And I know what happened was it started to create a shift in how the money was flowing. Money wasn't flowing into their coffers anymore. It started circulating around the community, and they were very effective in cutting that off. But that right there was all I needed to see. That made me see that it is possible. It is possible for us to work with each other and to do something. I will never forget that. That made me see that it is possible. It is, you know, because we get on these calls, we do a lot of talking, you know, and a lot of dreaming, you know. But,
right.
You know, you start trying to put something into action, you know, action and everything. I've seen it happen before, and they cut it off. They didn't let it get too out of hand. They got their ways and bring it in the media and things like that. We got to keep, and that's why I teach public and private so much, because that's another thing, and that's why I deal with trust, because the first thing we got to do is we got to learn how to keep our activities private.
That's right.
We got to start letting these people know what the hell we're doing, keeping our activities private and giving it a chance to grow before they can come in and start cutting it off. But I do know that we can work together. We can work together. It'll happen. I'm telling you. But it has to be something in it. One of the ingredients I see, there has to be people come when they see there's something in it for them. You have to show people what is in it for them. That's just a part of human nature.
Okay. Now, my next question is, can you give me a detailed description of how I could profit if I just decided walk out my door and say I started to grow a garden? You know, paint a picture for me, as an individual, if I decide to do that, based on someone who's listening to this broadcast for the very first time.
Okay, let's look at housing. Detroit right now is impoverished, if this is what they're saying. It's bankrupt. But here's what people need to know about cities that go bankrupt. When you go bankrupt, federal government is always right there to fund everything that needs to go back into that area.
Mm-hmm.
And they have what they call, they create what they call empowerment zones or empowerment monies that will be invested back into the infrastructure for improvements and preferential tax incentives. Now, the question is, who amongst us have that ready? Who is ready to receive that money? You understand? Who is there ready to invest back into those areas? We are. Moore's Equity Group ready. Got a house up there, bought a house up there 3 weeks ago, $1,200. Buy another one in a couple, 2 weeks. Go up there in November, put our feet on the ground, take a look, survey the land the same way the Asians do every Saturday, buying up blocks at a time. We start small because that's all we got, is small money right now. The more people come in and say, okay, well, let's get this property, put a renter or put an investor in until we can galvanize up a particular street or two streets or three streets. Oh, hell, how about this? How about we go and lock down 1,000 houses and take it to Wall Street and get it funded?
Ooh.
I mean, there's several ways you could do this thing, baby. But if you want to start small, put your money with me, Moore's Equity Group. Let's go get a house that got a renter in it. I got a realtor. I got people that put eyes on it. And go ahead and go to work.
Well, see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I think that Detroit, I think that was, that's all staged, and I think that's going to be a big gentrification project up in New York, in Detroit. But what
there
you just said about taking it to Wall Street, before it goes to Wall Street, there has to be a vehicle in place that the SEC is going to recognize that you can take this thing into trade. It just can't. So what vehicle is going to have to be a trust? That's what I'm saying. You know, we can get all that, but then you have to have the right structure in place before you even go to public, before you start trading publicly. There are a lot of I've studied this. I see how they man. Let me tell you how they're doing this. They're not doing this thing any different than guys who hustle on the street. Guys who are let me say this, you know, because we might got some listeners. I didn't talk to my hustlers for a minute. All right. What these people are doing is no different than, okay, let's say, let me use, I hate to do it, but let me just use dope for it as an example. You get a group of guys, you got supply and demand, all right? So they got this area they want to supply. So then they go and they get fronted, you know, some product to sell, all right? And this man wants to know what his security, and he's going to say, well, I already got outlets to get the stuff off. I already got everything in place to get it off.
Distribution.
Right? So, the distribution. I got the distribution. So he's going to say, because that's the only way he's going to give it to you. He's not going to front you nothing and you don't know what to do with it or you can't distribute it. You can you get this off and how fast can you get it off? What's my rate of return? All right. So you get together. Now, you might get together, and you may get different sections, and then you start pooling it together. You might, you know, get in league, this boss over here, this boss over here, and y'all get together and say, look, let's just start as an organization. And then they start structuring it. It's the same. When you start examining what these people are doing, they're doing the exact same thing. They're just doing it on a bigger scale. They put on suits. And they put everything in a language that is a, like that they can speak, that they don't want to keep you out. They want to keep you out, and they use language to keep you out. But when you look at the simplicity of it, once you get past all the big words and all this type of stuff, it's the same thing. I'm telling y'all. It's the same thing.
Okay.
Give me another example. They sell it.
Hold on a minute. Let me open up this one more line. Hold on to what you're saying now. Eric Cole, 404. 404, come on in.
Greetings, how are you?
Hey, Susan.
Peace.
Who are we talking to and where you calling us from?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And I just wanted to commend you brothers for, you know, doing all that you're doing. And I saw the site. And I'm looking forward to coming to Jacksonville to put in some work with you all. But I did have a question as far as going about acquiring land so that, you know, we could start this in all the other states. So if I was to search for land, what do you all suggest is a good amount of acres to start out with first?
Okay, fellas.
Sundiata.
Was that a question?
Is Sundiata on the phone? Okay, well, let's do this. I personally prefer to start in the city, in the area where the people are at, where the hoods are at. Those are the people that are most affected by genetically modified foods. Those are the areas that are now being called food deserts. So we want to go in there. We're not looking for acres. We're just right now. We can get the acres at the same time. But the priority aspect is go in the hood, get that empty lot next to that house. We have access to water with that house by capturing the rainwater, tapping into the city water at that time, at the same time. And we'll be able to grow vertically and still be able to create a compound amount of food that we'll be able to do horizontally on a larger piece of land.
Okay. So next to abandoned houses in the hood. Okay, I see. Okay, now, and I heard what the other brother said. Oh, I'm sorry. You wasn't finished? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hold that thought right there. Area code 561. Come in. Tell us who you are, where you calling from, what's your question or comment.
This is Sundiata. My call had dropped, and I had just got back in, and Dilo was asking me if I was on the line, so I didn't hear all of the sisters' questions and concerns. Maybe it's something I could chime in on, but if not, then we can just keep it moving.
Yeah, let's keep it moving.
Okay, well, that's all of the callers for now. We're down to our 9 minutes, so go ahead and finish what you were saying, sister.
Oh, yeah. I was just going back to what the other brother said when he was talking about we really don't own anything, and I kind of do get that concept. If someone could expand on what exactly does a trust do? Does that give us, quote-unquote, ownership, controllership? I mean, if you could expand on that.
No, it doesn't. What a trust does is you are transferring ownership into a business vehicle. What a private equity trust or an unincorporated business association is, and so I'm going to try to put this in layman's terms. Everybody in America has an estate, whether you know it or not. You have an estate.
Right.
All right? You are transferring your estate into operate in business privately. That's what you're doing when you form a trust. So it's the kind of trust I'm talking about. You don't own the trust anymore, but you get to enjoy the beneficial interest of the proceeds that are coming from the trust. And then your estate is being put in the hands of individuals whose only duty is to make you money. All right? So now all you're doing, have you ever heard of a trust baby? You ever heard that term, trust baby?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what trust babies are. Trust babies are individuals whose family has built wealth, and now they just sit around and enjoy every month they get a check from the trust because the trustees are the ones who are responsible for doing the business. So what it's doing is it's putting your interest, your assets, in the hands of individuals who are competent enough to make money with those assets. However, the trust indenture or the agreement, a declaration of trust, forget a corporation. A corporation doesn't even compare to a trust. Corporations is where a lot of corruption and stuff goes on in. They've been knowing this for a very long time. But corporations do serve their purpose. But unincorporated business organizations, which is just another way of saying a private trust, the contract on it is so severe, and these people have such an important duty to perform. That's all the wealthy people, every single Rockefeller, every single one of them, Rothschild, nobody, whoever you can name, every single one of them operate their entire estate through trust. And once you understand it, you'll see why. And they understand. See, they understand the esoteric information. See, we take ownership, own. I got my car in my name. I got my house in my name. You know, we think about, you know, these things. And only poor people think like that. Wealthy people do not even think. Wealthy people think entirely different than poor people. That's why they are rich and other people are poor.
And we are poor.
But they don't think. They don't think like you think, okay? It's totally different.
Right.
And they understand certain principles. You don't own it. You just, well, let me put it in simple terms. Would you really care whose name your car is in as long as you can get in it, drive it whenever you want, use it whenever you want, all as much as you want? Does it really matter?
Not really. Yeah, not really.
And you won't get the ticket.
Exactly.
Whoever
owns it is liable. Exactly.
Right. Okay.
And not to mention tax benefits, because when you have a private trust and you're able and you understand, see, the IRS recognizes like about 7 different types of persons. And that's a trust, an estate, a corporation, company, association, a partnership, and an individual. And these different entities determine how money circulates through the country, because money's always got to circulate. Money's moving in the same principle as electricity. So you can look at those different entities as switches. The trust is the ultimate type of vehicle to operate business through. The worst type of business to operate through is what's called an individual. A lot of people think this word individual, they don't understand that that's a corporation also. When you look up that word, you'll see that it's a corporate entity. It's a body.
Kind of like a sole proprietorship. Is that in the same?
Kind of like a sole proprietorship. Exactly.
Okay.
You should equate it with a sole proprietorship. Exactly. So that's what you want to do. And for wealth purposes, because a lot of people, when we transfer our wealth, let's say like, you know, you got, let's say you own some property, and you put it in a will. Well, a will still subjects your property to probate. And then when you understand how probate is, they're going to take like 30% of your estate. And then it can get tied up in probate, even if you have a will, even if you are testate. So when you have a trust, if somebody passes away, it's like a 24-hour process. You just transfer the certificates on to somebody else and you keep it moving. There's not any trust. So taxes can destroy an estate as well. So this is, we have to be financially educated about these sort of things in business, especially if we're going to be dealing with Federal Reserve notes. The Federal Reserve notes are not ours, and if you are engaged in business, you do have an obligation to report to the taxing authority. We do. We do. So, you know, I'm not here to promote no tax schemes or nothing like that, because that's just, that's not right. You know, they do have a right, if we're dealing with their money, to report to these people, because we are on a monopoly board. Well, we're playing a game on a monopoly board. And it just is what it is.
And I guess this will be another discussion, but I did always wonder if, you know, if we are striving to have our own thing, I mean, would it not be wise to just kind of separate ourselves from this system completely? But I understand that, you know, this was once our system and why, you know, we got to work with what we have. So
we the people
I understand that.
We the people who created the law, Mercy.
Right. Yeah, no.
I like to say this.
Brother, now we got to be quick because we coming down to the close. Go ahead, bro.
Well, I was going to say this about the whole separation of, you know, separating ourselves. I'm like what you used to say earlier. Instead of, you know, initially people were like, we need to destroy the system, but don't destroy it. You just control it. You get in and you operate. You operate and navigate within the system. Okay? Neo tried to destroy the Matrix. What happened? He realized his ass was a part of the Matrix. He met the motherfucker that made the Matrix and told him, you've been here plenty of times before. You don't try to destroy it several times, you can't do it. Why? Because without you, there's no us. I'd like to say the Matrix is in your mind. Everything that you create, all your friends, your situations, you created all of those things. This world, it's coming out of your mentality. Now, when you want something to operate and coincide with what you wanted to do, get your mind right. Get with other people, then we can shift the whole polar aspect of it. But it has to be done collectively. Now, I hate to keep using movies, but you've seen Avatar. You see when they were sitting down, moving things. That's all ancestral stuff. They laid it all out. They laid it all down in the books. It's, you know, we say Matrix, but, you know, they call it a mentor. They call it the underworld, but the mentor was representation of the body. When Moses went in the blood, the Red Sea, that was the blood. That was the consciousness going into the body. So we've got to get into that state. There's no need to separate. It's already here. There's, you know, the higher self and lower self is still one self. So everything is one. Once we realize that and really know how to execute the oneness, we'll see that all these different things are really just one aspect, and they got to be put in the right proper place. Hot and cold water, still water, different degrees.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for answering my questions. And I wish y'all the best, and I'll be down in Jacksonville soon. So keep it up, y'all.
All right.
Peace.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the close of the broadcast, and I certainly appreciate all the brothers for coming in as the all-star cast with Deserving Geoponics this evening, and I hope you all got something out of this thing. I'm your host, Tahaka Manayel Bay, and until next time, you all have a good evening, and we will be coming back again in the future with some more of this right here. You all have a nice evening.
Jim Danny to the rescue. Jim Danny to the rescue. Jim Danny to the rescue. Go, Jim Danny. Go, Jim Danny. Jim Danny on a mountain top. 30,000 feet drop. Got a lady on a runaway horse. Aha, that's right, of course. Jim Danny to the rescue. Go, Jim Danny. Go, Jim Danny. Jim Danny met a girl named Sue. She was feeble.